You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking Miami Marlins with MLB.com's Marlins beat reporter Joe Fusaro. Joe, the story of the week by far started emerging on Sunday, and that is the question of whether there is any pressure. Well, there's obviously pressure. Whether there's anything to this idea that that Mike Redmond's job might be in some jeopardy if things don't turn around soon. You've reported some on this. It seems to be different people hear different things. As we sit here now, what's your understanding on where this stands?
Yeah, it's probably one of the more bizarre and unfortunate ways to start a season because, you know, it's almost like a crisis was created within. You know, they obviously weren't playing well, and everything kind of went way out of control in New York. And now, whether it is or isn't, and there still hasn't been definitive clarity on that Mike Redmond's job could be in jeopardy. You know, you just kind of read with body language and how they respond internally. And, you know, clearly there's an urgency to get this thing turned around. Now, whether or not how quickly or whether or not the manager is at fault is something that's being sorted out. You know, I started hearing, you know, the whole Wally Backman thing. I don't think there was really any legs ever to that. But that kind of took on a life of its own. And, you know, then there's all sorts of reports, and you can always have people pointing fingers or pointing that in the direction. But I'm not even sure who's making the call. I mean, you know, whether it's, you know, I spoke with Jeffrey several times in New York, and there was no panic. And so all of a sudden, within that after Saturday's game to Sunday, something, you know, dramatically wrong happened. I'm still not sure exactly what that is.
So obviously, with any organization, it to some extent it goes without saying that if the owner doesn't want a transaction, a major decision to happen, it doesn't happen. The owner is where it stops. But it seems to me that with the Marlins, that is particularly pronounced. That Jeffrey Loria is somebody. If he's happy with how the manager is doing, the manager stays. And if he's not, then the manager goes. And so, I guess what I'm wondering is. What's your impression of what the owner thinks of all this? I mean, a lot of times you say, what's the GM think? What's the GM's mind? And I don't mean to take the legs out from under the GM at all. Clearly, this is an organization with a lot of voices. But Jeffrey Loria seems a particularly prominent voice in the baseball department as these things go. So what's your impression of where things stand in his mind, both as far as a club's performance and as far as a manager's status?
Yeah, I mean, these are the questions that, you know, might be only known in those kind of private meetings. You know, Mike Hill and Dan Jennings, as the top baseball executives, have say. The thing about this crisis, Matthew, is they broke spring training on a high. They played very well. Their last Grapefruit League game, they put 8 up on Max Scherzer in 2 innings. You know, they came into the season with momentum. So there was no inkling that, you know, oh, things weren't run right, this wasn't a motivated team. You know, obviously, they didn't want to get off to a 1-5 homestand. They win two, then they followed up, win 2-3 in Atlanta, lose a couple in New York, and then all of a sudden, it's like everything is just falling apart. That's why, yes, obviously disappointment from a hands-on owner. But, you know, people have been telling me all throughout, even New York, up until Saturday before that game, you know, no panic. So something had to have changed if everything is true that, you know, Mike Redmond's job was in jeopardy, you know, 24 to 48 hours later. So who knows how much is just said in heat of moment stuff that, you know, no one puts so much stock in. But when a story like this is out there and you're on a hot seat, whether you are or not, it's all over MLB Network. It's all over, you know, social media, it's all over everywhere. It's addressed by our company because now it is a story, whether it intended to be or not. And, you know, I'm kind of reading the body language of Red's comments and how he's reacting, and clearly there's tension there. I found it interesting last night, D. Gordon had a big night post-game, mentioned credits Mike Redmond and staff for his fast start. I think you're going to start seeing people in the uniform kind of rallying around the manager, but only wins are going to kind of cure it. But I think if they, you know, kind of get something rolling, maybe this will all subside and die down, and the team will be what they think they can be.
One thing you mentioned just a little bit ago was Giancarlo Stanton's comments about how things are going in the clubhouse. And it's an interesting mix with some young guys and a few veterans and a young veteran face of the franchise in Stanton. And so with the acknowledgement that there's only so much even a beat reporter can really know about what goes on behind closed doors, I think we all need to remind, you know, it's one of the things I always had to remind myself that you're still not finally there, but as somebody who's closer than most of us, what is your read on just kind of how that's all working in this club that is young but has high expectations and isn't meeting them early? How is that playing in there?
Yeah, it is very interesting. The front office had no problem with Stanton's comments when he mentioned that the team kind of lacked fire and they kind of were playing in spurts, not playing nine-inning games. And they looked at it as this is Giancarlo's team. He could say whatever he wants. And I didn't take it when Giancarlo said that he was completely pointing that at Red, but obviously the manager, you know, sets the tempo. You have a young superstar here who, you know, basically he came up at age 20. And, you know, he was on the team with Hanley Ramirez. And, you know, there were times where people thought he should speak up, but he was, you know, 20, 21 and didn't find that it was his place. The contract, the stature, who he is, the type of player he is, he's not a real outspoken guy by nature, but he's the type of guy in this team that if he has something to say, we'll say it. Now, I don't think that team meeting went as well as some people thought. It was a players-only meeting, I should say, because I think that, you know, there was some criticism of Stanton saying, well, you know, who are you to say stuff? You hadn't been on the path to start either. But, you know, players have to air out, you know, what's going on and come together and get on the same page, whether that's in, you know, player-only meetings or that's a guy speaking up. You know, it's a new role for Stanton, but, you know, this guy is the face of this franchise. And I anticipate you'll see more of that. And it is a little bit different role for him.
Let's actually go out onto the field here. This team is slugging .348 as a team, and that's a team that has Giancarlo Stanton. That obviously has to get somewhat better, but to what extent is it a concern? I know that they didn't intend to be a team that only relied on the home run. You got to hit for some power to score runs. To what extent is there concern about the lack of power that this team has displayed so far?
I just think they think it's, you know, it's there. I mean, you got Michael Morse is certainly capable of power. Marcell Ozuna hasn't gone deep yet. He's, you know, he's a guy that got off to a really slow start, but is starting to get better at bat. I just think they think a lot of it's just really small sample size that, you know, Stanton's still getting his legs under him and, you know, getting acquainted to that face guard, which he wears right now against righties and not so much against lefties, that they're going to have a balanced lineup. I think they feel that. I also think this is when you start pressing, and, you know, the weakness right now is the starting pitching's consistency and, you know, getting those innings with Henderson Alvarez out, that there might be some on the offense to think, hey, you know, we got to do a little bit more. But, you know, this is also a team that's faced everyone's best right now. These first 13, 14 games, they've had Harvey, DeGrom, Teron, Chris Archer, you know, this big win to beat Cole Hamels, didn't even, you know, score the base with a winning run on a ball. You know, finding a way, they're getting these everyone's best right now, and their bats are, you know, still trying to figure that out. So I think that they feel that this team and this lineup is going to score runs. Clearly you need some power, obviously. And I think they feel it's just a matter of just play and let it play itself out.
And now I want to talk a little franchise four with you. The Marlins voting is fascinating and honestly surprising to me. Jeff Conine we knew would be in there. Giancarlo Stanton we knew would be in there. Mike Lowell, not a hard call. Gary Sheffield is the fourth guy, which means that on the outs are Josh Beckett, Luis Castillo, Levon Hernandez, and Charles Johnson. If it were up to you, would any of those four guys be in the top four? And if so, whom would you bump out?
Yeah, it is interesting because, you know, Beckett being the hero he was in three, now these guys, you know, some of these guys had 4 years, you know, total in the organization. It's not a ton of history. You have a lot of fan favorites. Jeff Conine, you know, is immensely popular. He's from day one type of guy and, you know, still works in the organization. So, you know, I think you have a lot of sentiment, you know, over even the absolute performances on the field and longevity. Conine, part of two World Series teams, and he got brought in right before September 1st in 03 after Lowell got hurt. You know, to me, Luis Castillo is, you know, he didn't have the power, but in terms of games played, hits, there's so much that he's right at the top, and, you know, you would think he would be someone there. You know, Sheffield's tenure, you know, really, really strong those first 4 or 5 years of the franchise. But, you know, Marlins fans, they have a lot of their personal favorites, and they tend to vote with their heart. But Beckett would be a guy, because I think what Beckett did in 03 and for that team to win, it really kind of helped save the franchise, in my opinion, because that 03 team, you know, helped get the ballpark built. You know, it helped take away any type of talk of relocation or, you know, starting to figure things out. You know, winning in 03, it took years later before they actually moved into Marlins Park, but it showed that 97 wasn't just a fluke year, that, you know, baseball can win in South Florida and the Marlins can be viable. So I kind of look at things a little bit differently with Beckett and historically what it meant to this franchise.
Joe Fusaro, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.